stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 41. And we're recording this on an evening, which is the first time, isn't it? Have we done this on an evening yet before, Gretchen?
Yes.
Oh, we have?
It's been a Sunday evening.
Oh, okay.
And tonight?
Tonight's a weekday evening.
Tuesday evening.
It's a Tuesday evening.
So things should be different tonight, huh?
Things, there's a different vibe in the studio. We have a live studio audience today.
We do.
So, my amps and my guitars and my saxophone over there, they're all...
I was going to say, do you have some ants, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Probably do. So, how's the week? How's the week been? I guess it's been 2 weeks since we podcasted. Actually, longer for us, because we sneaked one in when we weren't really doing one.
Well, you went away, so you were. How was your conference?
I did go away. Yeah, I went to a good conference, nerdy conference, up in Minneapolis. And I got to visit my sister up in Duluth, Minnesota. A little bit of cool weather. I did come back with some observations, though.
About Duluth or about the nerdy conference?
About traveling.
About traveling.
All right, first thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a pet peeve that I've always had, and it's, you know when you rent a car?
Yes.
They make you put the gas back in. They make you fill up the gas. Or you can buy your own gas.
You can buy it, right.
But yeah, but then you have to buy the whole tank.
Right.
So if you're just a businessman, you know, someplace for a day or two, they make you go to the gas, find a gas station, and you're in a town you don't know, so you got to find a gas station, and you got to wait till the end when you're ready to return the car and fill it up. And I never understood that. For 20 years, I don't understand why a rental car company would make the customer do that. Don't they have facilities to fill up the gas? Can't they just calculate that and make you pay for it? Why don't they make the customer the customer experience nice? Why do they do that? Nobody I've ever talked to, ever, has said, you know what I really like about renting cars? I love looking for the gas station.
At the very end.
At the very end. That's my favorite part of the experience. No one said that. Nobody wants to do it. No customer wants to do it. So why do these businesses say...
You must do it.
They must do it.
Hmm. That's a good observation.
I don't get it.
Because maybe if that was the hook for somebody to market, that you don't have to return it full... They might actually do better.
Right? I would think so, but they haven't done that.
Instead, you get to purchase it for the option if you don't want to go search for the gas station. You can purchase it for $6 a gallon, and they'll take care of it for you.
Right, but that's higher than the cost of gasoline.
Of course it is.
And that means you got to forecast your gas usage, which is absolutely a miserable burden to put on your customer that you want to come back to your service. All right, second observation. So I'm staying in downtown Minneapolis at a nice hotel. Mm-hmm. It's a DoubleTree. It's a couple hundred dollars a night. Hotel wasn't all that great. And get this. Okay, so I go to plug in my laptop to their Ethernet service.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for logging in. Would you like to pay $10 a day or $45 for the week? Okay, I paid the $45 for the week because I was there for a week. But here's my thing. This is a business hotel in the middle of a business district. There's pretty much very few people that aren't going to want to use the internet while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that a standard feature in a hotel? It really feels put upon that I have to pay extra for it.
Well, that $45,
they like that. And it's a ridiculous price.
Yes.
I've
stayed at that DoubleTree. I know what you're talking about. It's not that great.
Yeah. Oh, you stayed up there?
It's across from Target, right?
It's a Target Center. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Target Center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe we're like in an in-between time because this is unacceptable.
I think some of the really high-end hotels don't make you pay for it.
Oh, some of the cheapy hotels don't make you pay for it. I mean, they also said, well, you don't have to pay for it if you could do dial-up. Well, I haven't done dial-up in 6 years, and I'm sorry. I guess I'm too big for my britches, but that just seems pathetic. You know, I got a VPN to my company email. Dialing that just doesn't do the job. I
mean, you don't want to wait 25 minutes?
I think it's embarrassing for them to even offer dial-up. I really do. It says, ooh, we're a low-tech hotel. press your dial-up modem. Who even carries around a phone wire with them anymore, you know? So just connect your modem, and then there's a little gerbil thing you can track, you can run around in to make sure you get power. And golly, it's absolutely ridiculous. So then the other thing that happened is, so I'm going through security on the way up there, and you know how you're kind of tousled about and taking off your shoes, taking out your laptop. It's a little bit frazzled. So got through it fine, and then I checked into the hotel fairly late on Sunday night, and I said, well, sir, where's your driver? And you need to see your driver's license and your credit card. Pulled up my credit card, couldn't find the driver's license. Looked all over, all my wallet, all my bags, couldn't find my driver's license. So I said to the guy, I don't have a driver's license. I think I lost it while going through security. What do you want to do? And they checked me in fine. But then I went up to my room and I thought, okay, what's the next step here?
You weren't going to be able to get back without one.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Okay, I had, you know, the weekend after I was going to go up to my sister in Duluth, so I was going to rent a car. Okay, nix that. That was not going to happen.
You probably couldn't even get dial-up without a driver's license, frankly.
Yeah, no kidding. So there's no renting the car to see my sister. How do you get back? Don't they want a driver's license? I mean, I don't have another picture ID with me. You know, it's the only picture ID I have. So I was, I didn't check this out. I should have come back and done some research for our audience to find out. Because I was, luckily I found it. It was in the bill portion of my wallet. I had accidentally slipped it in there. And you can't believe the sense of relief when I did find it.
Right.
But it just begged the question. So you're off on a trip, and you've got a return ticket to home, but you have no identification. What do you do? So I guess my next step would have been to call the state of Texas and call the airlines, you know, and find out my options. Well, I didn't bring it with me. I was going to Minnesota.
Somebody could have sent it to you.
Yeah.
Then you would have had
it. Yeah, so that would have been an option,
maybe
too.
Maybe would have got you back.
Yeah.
Until then, you came back and got a new replacement driver's license.
Right. You just need something to get you through.
You do.
And I guess the rental car is, I mean, you can't. And what do you do about driving?
You really hope you don't get pulled over.
Yeah, I know.
You really hope.
Yeah. So that was my trip.
Wow.
But the conference was good, and seeing my sister was absolutely awesome. Duluth was cool. So actually, all in all, it was a good time.
I hear they have a nice bridge.
They have a very nice bridge they're very proud of. On all their tourist stuff, you see this picture of this bridge, and it's a bridge that goes up when the boats come in, but how most bridges, they sort of go up in the middle at kind of go up at an angle. This one, the whole platform just goes up and goes back down.
What a clever idea.
I don't know if it's clever or not, but it
works for them.
It works for them. And
put them on the map.
It put them on the map. Yeah, believe it or not. So that's my trip.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, was that too personal?
I don't know. You have to ask the listeners. Is that too personal? Are you guys interested?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know what happened while you're on your trip?
Tell me.
Well, no, actually, I think maybe it happened when you got back.
Oh.
MTV celebrated its 25th anniversary.
I thought she was going to go for something personal.
No, nothing personal. No, I'm sorry.
It didn't happen.
Actually, this is personal, though, because when you think about it, 25 years, you remember when it launched, right? 1981.
I was in my mother's womb.
You were not. Okay, we were both in college, all right? That's how old we were. All right, but that we're the generation that now has kids.
That was back when MTV was good.
We're the generation that now has children who are growing up only knowing MTV, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't know MTV, but what I thought was really interesting about their big anniversary, now can you imagine if you were an MTV executive, could you not have planned the party of a century knowing that you had people going back 25 years, the best of the best in music, who have all been touched and been on your station in some way.
Absolutely.
And you could have had the most amazing party. You could have had, you know, the CD set. You could have done a million things, but what they chose to do...
Could have been a contender.
They chose to do with nothing, and that's the part that I thought was
excellent.
Interesting. Excellent. You know why?
Well, they didn't do nothing because you obviously knew it was their 25th anniversary.
But they played it down specifically.
Really? Why?
Because they don't want their audience now to know that they're old.
Oh, it's not cool.
Isn't that amazing? It's not cool to be 25 when your target, when your demographic is 18.
Right, right.
You know? So they did not want to go down the trip of memory lane. But if you go check out their little yearbook, which was actually pretty interesting.
Huh.
Every year, like, if you can just, you can remember back where you were, and I'm sure, you know, if your listeners are roughly our age, you know, you can remember 1981, like, some of the best of what they were playing at the time was Blondie, yeah. Rapture, Devo, Whip It.
Yeah.
Prince's 1999 was
excellent.
Was aired in 1982. And when you think about that, like, wow, that was so prophetic, right?
Yeah.
And he was that far. And then The Clash, Rock the Casbah. I mean, and just like the next year was Michael Jackson. It was all about Beat It and Thriller. And then 1984 was Madonna.
Yeah.
Burst on the scene, and then she never left. And then ZZ Top was in the 80s. And then Bruce Springsteen and David Lee Roth. And it just goes on and on. And you can just remember. I mean, at least I can remember where I was during
all those
years.
I used to turn on MTV, you know, at that age. And I could just watch it for hours because it was just videos of good songs.
Good songs, right.
It and was so good.
Because the genre was developing. And
right.
So I think people were trying to figure out, how do we do it? How do we break out? Remember the one that everybody does talk about and you can't even remember the group anymore, 1984, Aha, Take On Me?
I was just going to tell
Wasn't
you that one.
Wasn't that one amazing?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to them?
Me.
Right? And but the video was groundbreaking.
The video put them into, it was
groundbreaking.
And you know, what's interesting too is like there's a lot of directors now, and Spike Jonze is the obvious one that comes to mind, that got their careers launched by doing videos.
Mm-hmm.
And, because it was extremely creative medium, a medium where young people got into it.
Right.
Very much like podcasting. Is today.
Very much
we
so.
We are.
The Wild West. We are.
We are the MTV of today's generation.
And coincidentally, the other thing that I've noticed now that I actually, okay, personally, I finally have got into the groove with XM, okay? So I listen to XM now, and I'm listening to stations I never would have listened to, but I have noticed, and I'm very liberal, but man, there are sexually explicit lyrics out there that I cannot believe that are on, like, the top 20. Not on a very, you know, a very specific station that you have to go to, but on their top 20. It is amazing to me. And just coincidentally, a study came out today that said that teens who listen to sexually explicit lyrics are 50% more likely to have sex than teens who do not listen to them.
That, you know, I can believe that because when you're young and you hear words like, I'm gonna sex up my mama's hot big booty. I'm not actually. Is that pretty good? Is that what the young kids are saying?
Something like that.
I have no idea.
I think it's a little more melodic, but yeah, something like that.
Hey, that's. I'm working on my new song. That's part
that's
of
it.
That's
okay.
Part of Hezbollah Girl.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, you hear this stuff, and it just becomes less of a. Taboo and more of, okay, well, that's what we do. We sex up our ladies' big fat.
Well, you said you heard Promiscuous Girl. That's the one that everybody's playing now. It's a catchy little tune.
It's a catchy song.
Does anybody realize what that means? Does anybody realize you don't want to be the promiscuous girl of 2006?
But it sounds great. They want to be the promiscuous. I am the promiscuous girl. It's a badge of honor.
And you're the promiscuous boy. I mean, you don't really. I just think it's interesting that even I can hear it. I'm like, my God, I'm liberal. And I'm even going, wow, I can't believe this.
And you know, maybe that's a good point, because maybe, Gretchen, you and I are not parents, obviously, and there's so much, you know, this red state stuff and conservative people really worrying about things like Janet Jackson's boob and all this like that. And I always kind of roll my eyes like, oh, censorship, schmensorship, you know, we can take it. Well, we're not parents, and this is new to you, all these top 20 songs, because you started to listen to it. Well,
right.
I don't listen to it at all, so I don't really know how sexually explicit they're getting, and maybe that's part of the
issue. And that's what they're saying. A lot of parents don't realize it either.
Yeah,
so, just FYI, that the study says that it definitely has some impact in violence, too. And, of course, there's been a lot of correlations with violence, but new studies out just even reconfirming it.
Okay. Well, that's... Yay.
So happy 25th, MTV.
Happy 25th. Yeah, really. In fact, one of the old MTV jocks is one of the big guy in podcasting.
I think you mentioned that.
Adam Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember him at all?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And actually, they had a little bit about their initial video jocks, too.
See, I don't really remember Adam Curry. I remember Martha... Martha, the real cute
the
pixie.
Yeah. Yeah, with the short hair.
Yeah. Everybody, all the guys, you know, kind of liked her. What was Adam Curry?
Nina Blackwood, too.
Yeah.
The blonde hair.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about her. And but was Adam Curry like a big deal back then? Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
I think he did in the New London News.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Get your money for nothing. Get your chicks for free. We got to install a microwave oven. Custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. Well, changing topics, I wanted to talk about gerrymandering today.
Gerrymandering.
Okay.
Remind me what gerrymandering is.
Gerrymandering is the basically redistricting for advantage.
Okay.
Setting up your district. So it was named after a politician.
Named Jerry?
Yeah. Eldridge Gerry, as a matter of fact. Look, actually, in his time, it was Eldridge Gerry because it's spelled G-E-R-R-Y. We've since, well, he created the first sort of gerrymander district, and this district looked like a salamander. And I think it was in Massachusetts. So the idea of doing this became gerrymandering. Actually, it was gerrymandering, but over time, because G-E-R-R-Y, people started saying gerrymandering. So, and it's the idea of drawing up different boundaries so that your party or whatever has advantage.
Okay.
And the reason I wanted to talk about it a little bit today, I'm going to give you a little bit of sort of some of the disadvantages and what we can do about it, is because I believe it's one of the biggest things that if we can change, we can change some of the problem solving and dialogue going on in Washington, D.C. today. I truly believe that. So let me go through here.
So what happens at the state level?
It happens at the state level. It happens at the local level. It happens at every, those two levels.
Those two levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say at every level, really. Where?
So it's the Senate and the House.
Well,
the Senate
is not affected by it because
it's only two per state, right?
Right.
So it's all about the House then.
Right. It's all about the House, and it's also about local elections.
Okay.
And so forth. They do it at the local level as well. Now, interestingly enough, the United States of America is one of the only countries that actually have politicians doing this.
Drawing up their own districts.
Yeah. So that's part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
And part of the solution, which could be easily solved. So let me go through my notes here that I wrote up. The first problem of gerrymandering is that it reduces the electoral competition and voter turnaround. So you've got these districts where, let's say, it's 80% Republican because it was engineered to be that way. You have, guess what? A Republican is going to win. And as a result, the Democrats the few Democrats that are there don't really show up. And A, they don't get representation. B, politicians that actually come out of that district only are incentivized to react to their base. And so as a result, you tend to have a little bit more left-leaning or right-leaning, whatever that district is, people in place. Because they don't have to appeal to the whole moderate viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a consideration. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other problem is that they have strong incumbency. So it's very easy. In fact, it's most likely that there's not going to be a lot of turnaround in these districts because there's no way to vote the guy out because he's going to come back and he has the majority on his side. So basically, he can do pretty much anything he wants to in Congress because he's not going to get voted out.
Right, but the majority of his supporters would think that was good, though.
Right, and the majority of his supporters will probably think it's good as long as he's appealing to that base, and that base is most likely somewhat radical. So here's what happens, though, is if you have to appeal to a moderate base, chances are we're all going to want problems to be solved. But if you, and this is a case in point with the gay marriage thing that the Republicans brought up, right? All the base loves and no gay marriage. That's their big deal. They know that the people on the right, the solid conservative line, just love to hear that. We don't want gay marriage. But everybody knows in Washington that it's a non-issue. It's just a non-issue. Nobody, only the older generation really cares that much. Younger people, it's shown study after study, it just doesn't matter. Yet they still bring it to a big vote. They still have a lot of debate in it. Why? So they can go back to their districts and show their base, look at all this good stuff I'm doing for you. I'm fighting the cause. When, what does it mean? Were they problem solving? No. Does it mean anything? No. Did they spend taxpayers' dollars on something that produced no results or had no effect on anything? Yes. Is that a good result? I would maintain no, it's not a good result.
But I thought a lot of this was illegal and it's been challenged in court.
Well, I will talk about that.
Okay, because I thought it's actually happening in Texas, right? They actually talked about redrawing, and it went to the Texas State Court.
It did.
Supreme Court.
It went to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good. So, the latest big thing was, well, first of all, let me continue on my little flow, if you don't mind.
Mm-mm-mm.
Where am I? Oh, okay. Another problem with this is less descriptive representation. Basically, you've got, because these things have been kind of engineered so that you don't, the minority never gets a view, you have districts where people are just never, ever represented. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What else? Okay. So, back to the legislation. Let me find this part of it. This is a long article I have. Okay. Texas congressional map in 2003 was totally changed by U.S. Majority Leader Tom DeLay. And this did go to the Supreme Court. And on June 28th, 2006... Oh, that's just recently, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I just remember when this happened. They found one district was a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they only found one district was a problem. And so they basically allowed him to do it. And they it basically says it's a 7-2 decision. And it now gives full allowance to politicians in all U.S. states to redraw and gerrymander districts as often as they like. So it's a big problem. Now, some states have taken it upon themselves to find independent boards to do this redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very few. And I would maintain to our audience that if you can write letters to your congressmen and, you know, people who represent you and your senators, that we need in the United States to get to a system where we have, just like most other countries in the world, we have independent boards that do our redistricting, that are not political. We need to do that. Right now, Gretchen, the state politicians, usually with advisement from the U.S. Court system, but right now it's the state politicians that do this, and it creates all kinds of politics for all the wrong reasons. And what we need is we need our representative bodies to represent us, and we need them to not have it. We definitely need far right and far left. I'm a full believer of that, because a lot of times the great ideas can come from the far left and far right, especially if they're introduced and then they're compromised. Sometimes they can have the brightest ideas that can be brought to the table,
right,
and worked into solutions. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I would hate to take that component.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would hate to take that component away of having those extremes. But as a result, we have politicians that are incentivized by being extreme and not solving problems, just showing the guys in their gerrymandered district that they're fighting the good fight for them. So guess what? Problems don't get solved. That's why we haven't solved things like Social Security. That's why we haven't solved things like global warming. That's why we haven't solved things like healthcare. You know, so problems are not being solved. And that is the issue. Now, there's a lot of this, an article I found goes into a lot of algorithms for doing this in efficient ways, and I won't bore you. I found them very interesting, but I won't bore you. I wouldn't mind being
So who wrote the algorithms?
Independent people. I mean, usually academics. Hmm. Academics. There's a lot of different ways to go on this, but the point is, with today's computers...
Do they give a good example of, like, a country to look at to say these people do a really good job? And that's what we should be thinking about?
I think they did, but I can't remember what it was, what they were. But what was I going to say? Oh, today, with today's computers and today's voting data and the merging of the two. They have such
Much demographic information about
so much
all
demographic information and voting record information on all of us that there's, and then that's what the gerrymanders use. So just as easily we could use all that data to use some of these more efficient algorithms to do it in an independent way. So
it's very interesting.
I think it's, people don't think about this enough, but especially with this U.S. Supreme Court ruling just recently where they gave a 7-2 approval on this losing representation for people. It's an absolute crime, and it's not making us better, and it's not helping us solve problems. I don't care if you're, you know, if you're Republican and you're saying, woohoo, we got our gerrymandered district. Well, you know, it doesn't matter because you're going to lose out to a Democrat gerrymandering scheme next census. I mean, it's not
Yeah, isn't it tied to the census at all?
It is tied to the, the Constitution, I believe, says you can do it every 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. So it is tied to the census. So that's what I have to say about that.
Wow.
So write your congressman if you know, to do something about it. Let's just not sit idle. I think it's bigger than a lot of problems out there. And I think it's the reason why we have so much red state, blue state. Well, you know what? Most of us are moderate. Most of us want pragmatic government that solves problems. Sorry, I believe that. Isn't that what you want, Gretchen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I believe that too. And I think if you and I believe it, then...
then everybody has to believe it.
Then everybody must believe that.
Oh... Let me ask you, what do you think most Americans are worried about these days?
I think most Americans are worried about gerrymandering.
It might not be in their top five or their top ten.
But it should be. No, I would say some are concerned about global warming. Some are concerned about oil. Some are, and that oil, the whole thing from high gas, high prices at the pump to where are we going to get oil in 50 years to being dependent on other countries too much. I would say some people worry about Iran and South Korea and nuclear weapons. That, those would be my top three.
Well, what if I said you were wrong?
Then I would say Janet Jackson's and her loss of 60 pounds.
And that's what everybody's worried about?
I think... there's a lot of press on it, so I think maybe.
Is she anorexic? Uh-oh.
No, she was fat. She was blubbery. She was very blubbery. I saw some big old blubbery pictures of her.
Well, according to...
That's not it?
No. According to what I heard, I heard that most Americans are concerned about personal debt. And I thought that was really interesting.
I don't buy it. I don't even buy it. I don't even buy
more
that.
More concerned about debt than terrorism.
I don't buy it because
guess
Americans...
Guess how much debt Americans have, Jeff? Guess.
I don't... A huge amount of debt. And that's my point. We don't care because they just keep buying. I know people that say, I'm going to buy for tomorrow because tomorrow will be a better day. I want things now.
Well, that's true.
I don't think we care.
We're approaching $10 trillion in consumer financial liability.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. But $9,200 per American household.
Wow.
That's
in
a
debt.
Lot in debt. That
on
is
consumer
a lot.
Debt. Wow.
Consumer debt. That's not counting. That's just your credit card.
That's the dumbest kind of debt.
Right. And it's starting to affect our retirement security of the baby boomers. And it's even pinching, you know, people in their 30s and 40s. And a lot of people who have actually financed school are having a great deal of difficulty paying it back. And it's affecting 20-somethings, too.
Really?
Yeah. So there is a lot of talk about it, but you're right. Americans don't care.
Yeah.
Just don't care. We're always looking ahead. We'll figure out there's another
and
way
I think
to
it's,
solve the problem.
Right. And I think it's part of the American spirit that I don't want... The psyche. The optimistic psyche. You know,
right.
I can... I mean, part of it's negative. So materialistic. I want this high-priced watch or car now, damn it, because I deserve it, because I'm an American. But part of it is, well, you know, next year, it's going to be better, so I can pay it off. It's this optimistic American thing that
But do you remember in 1986, the Tax Reform Act was actually designed to encourage us to not go into debt? We weren't allowed to deduct our interest on consumer borrowing from 1986 on.
Okay.
And it was phased out over a five-year plan. But what happened in the last 10 years, consumer debt doubled. In the last 5 years, mortgage debt doubled.
How about that? So
we really
don't
care.
Didn't do a thing.
It didn't do a thing. It's actually going in the other direction.
Hmm.
But Americans are concerned about it, according to the poll that I heard. More so than terrorism.
I just don't buy it.
Well,
I just have trouble with it. It's like, I guess maybe.
Well,
I mean,
maybe
you got people talking about, oh, I'm fat and I want to do something about it. And then you see them eating all tons of food, not exercising, and you realize, okay, they're giving it lip service, but they don't really care. You know, maybe that's it.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's gerrymandering, and they just don't want to admit it to the pollsters.
Could be. Well, something happened. Is that it?
Yes, that's
okay.
It. That's it on that.
Something funny but sad happened today on the Texas highways.
I thought you didn't have any stories on Texas.
No, you said Dallas.
Oh, on Dallas. Okay.
We were talking about this before.
What happened on Texas highways?
Did you hear about this?
I don't believe
A truckload of penguins spilled on an East Texas highway. We're talking like 100 degree temperatures.
Wait, penguins in Texas?
Penguins, I tell you. I tell you, penguins.
Were they alive when they spilled?
Yes, they were alive. They were taking these exotic birds and penguins from Indianapolis Zoo to the Galveston Zoo. And let's see what happened here. I don't want to get into the gruesome details, but 21 penguins survived. And they were taking some minor injuries. Three of them were run over, unfortunately.
Oh,
I know. I'm sorry. But a refrigerated tractor trailer was summoned to pick up the survivors, and they hauled them on their way. So, something that doesn't happen very often on a Texas highway. There were penguins.
Such a bizarre story. What an image. I'd love to see a clip of that.
No.
Well, not the aftermath, but, you know.
No. And that's why.
Because it has been triple digits here for, what, 40 some days?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of hesitant to bring it up, because there was a sad component. We did lose some of them, but it's sort of such an unusual story that I just had to give in. Hey, so what do you think about Mel Gibson?
I actually heard this morning that he should be considered for a slot on Dancing with the Stars with Fran Drescher. Wouldn't that be appropriate payback?
Yes. You know what I find funny? His apology. I am not anti-Semitic.
And I want to meet with the leaders of the Jewish
community. And I want to meet the leaders. I don't buy any of it, okay? He was drunk. He didn't rally against blacks. He didn't talk poorly against Asians. He didn't talk poorly against, you know, any other Puerto Ricans, whatever group. It was Jews. The man is anti-Semitic. You know, no amount of apology. I want to meet with the leaders and find out what I can do to make amends. He's anti-Semitic. He's just that way. So I was kind of surprised.
Because a lot of people are coming to his defense and saying they've never heard him say anything like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, I'm sure he keeps it in. You know?
So will you boycott his movies in the future?
I've never been a big Mel Gibson fan.
Okay, so, but if he was your favorite movie star,
but you know,
and
well,
he made some disparaging remarks, would you boycott his
Probably
movie?
Not. I'm just not that way. You know, I don't care that much. That's like, you know, when Elton John decided he was bi and then gay. Did I stop listening to the early Elton John music when it was so good? No, I didn't care.
Well, it's a little different than to...
Well, yeah. But I mean, my point is, so many people were up in arms about that one. You know, I didn't care. Now, yeah, that's kind of a non-issue. But Michael Jackson, if he came out with a kick butt record, I'd probably buy it for nostalgia's sake, because I love Michael Jackson.
You don't care if he was a pedophile?
Well, I do, but if he was convicted of it, then he should be in jail and serve the time. You know, I don't know. Well, I tend to trust the justice system as getting it right most of the time. You know, so I'm not gonna judge him after he's been judged.
Okay, fair enough. Step loud, running through.
through the grass for hours, rolling through the hay, whoa, like a puppet child.
So do you know that every year we get new words added to the dictionary?
I did not know that.
And did you know the dictionary is 200 years old?
I did not know that.
That was actually pretty amazing. Noah Webster, 200 years ago, decided he was going to publish a dictionary.
Wow.
And so this year, new words got added. And I
now,
just
was,
thought
what, was Noah Webster working with Funkin' Wagnall?
No. No, he was out there all by himself with 37,000 entries.
Wow.
And then on his death in 1843, the Merriam brothers acquired the rights to his dictionary. So that's how it became Merriam-Webster.
Huh, how about that?
Interesting, huh?
On his deathbed. That sounds like there's a little gerrymandering there.
So anyhow, we have 30 new words added this year.
Excellent.
Yeah, you want to know what some of them are?
Because
they're really interesting.
Okay.
You might be a mouse potato. What do you think? Are you a mouse potato?
Couch potato that eats cheese?
No, a mouse potato that spends way too much time on the computer.
Oh, makes sense. Uh-huh. Mouse potato.
Yep. How about supersize? A verb.
Oh, yeah.
First identified in 1994, and now it's in the dictionary.
Yeah, I could believe it. Just make it bigger.
That's right. How about the unibrow?
Unibrow?
Unibrow.
Oh, the from, eyebrow that goes all the way across.
1988. That's the singular continuous brow.
Yep.
From the growing together of eyebrows.
Yep.
How about big box? Now, this is one if you're in retail. Everybody knows big box.
Big boxes are those out in the suburbs, the big Best Buys and all those big places.
Large
big retailers.
Chain stores having a box-like structure.
Right.
That is the big box. And how about an empty suit?
Empty suit, dumb guy, business, dumb business guy.
An ineffectual executive, yes.
Okay.
How about the verb Google?
I don't know,
I believe
no idea.
You are a Googling kind of guy, aren't you?
I'm a Googler.
To use the Google search engine to obtain information about a person.
Okay.
And my favorite, how about the himbo? The H-I-M-B-O.
Yes, it's the male version of bimbo.
That's right, an attractive but vacuous man.
Kind of like me?
Oh, not anything like you, Jeff. So anyhow, those were just some of the words added to the Webster Dictionary this
year. You
know,
year. When you said that, I was kind of expecting, I don't know, complicated words, you know?
Like maybe gastric bypass. That one's getting added also.
I'm surprised that's not in there, but okay.
Drama queen? I mean, they're...
Yeah, see, all these are like in our vernacular.
Them. Yes,
yeah.
You know them. So isn't that interesting that they're going to be preserved for future generations?
Yeah. I would think, how did Google get in there? Because that's got to be such
verb.
A coup. I know, but it's such a coup for the company.
Yeah, it's not even a noun. It's a verb.
I mean, why? Search wasn't good enough? I'm going to go to the computer and search for sex porno. Now it's Google
now
for sex
porno? Now let's not
porno?
Share so many private things.
I was just using what this guy on the internet told me.
Oh,
I don't Google that stuff.
Oh,
I have no idea. I don't. All right. I think that's going to be the show.
Yes, let's end on that note.
With that note. This has been show number 41 of This and That with Jeff and Gretchen. I hope you enjoyed it.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Gretchen. Bye, audience.